You are all winners, right?
Does this place have a shelf?
Yes, it does. Praise the Lord. That was fun, huh? Praise God. Well, again, so glad that you guys are here. And we are going to get into the Word of God. Are y'all ready for that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start out with something kind of funny that I heard someone share the other day, and I thought it's hilarious. So anyway, just bear with me. I need to read this. So the phone rings in the locker room at a golf club, at the clubhouse at a golf club. It was laying on the bench there. And so this guy picks it up, answers it, and it's on speaker. And this lady says, "Hi, hon, are you at the golf club?" He replies, "Yes." "Well," she said, "I'm out shopping today, and I'm calling because I just saw this beautiful leather jacket, and I was wondering if it's okay if I bought it. It's only $2,000. He says, "Well, does it look good on you?" "Yes." "Does it, you really like it?" "Yes." "Sure. Go ahead and buy it." Then conversation continues. "Okay, great." Then she says, "Also, I just went by the BMW dealership. And remember that color of that BMW that I really liked? They have it back in stock." And he's like, "Great." And she said, "Oh, it's got all the bells and whistles on it." He says, "Okay, we'll go by and get it later on today." "Wow, okay." And then she says, "That's so awesome. Thank you, hon." And then she says, "One more thing. Remember our dream house that we looked at last year? Well, my real estate friend just called and said it's back on the market. And they're only asking $2.2 million for it." He says, "Well, call her back. Tell her that we'll make an offer on it." He says, "You know, I think if you offer $2 million, they'll probably take it." "Okay, great. I'll let her know we're going to make an offer." And then she says, "Love you." He says, "Love you back." Hangs up the phone, holds the phone up and says, the guy in the locker room, "Does anybody know whose phone this is?" So, even if you have a wonderful husband like mine, I'm pretty sure no one has that kind of honey with money that could make those kind of phone calls like that. But today I want to tell every one of you beautiful ladies in here that you have an awesome heavenly Father who loves you more than words can express. And that he has promised to meet all of our needs, spirit, soul, and body. And not only will he meet all of our needs, but he has also promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us, he's in us, and he is for us. So the title of my message today is God's Got You. I want to read you a scripture as we're going to have an illustration here in just a minute. But this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 out of the Amplified. And I'm just going to read the last part of it. "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. I will not. In any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." He's saying, "I'm not in any way going to fail you. I will never give up on you. I won't leave you without support. I will never leave you helpless, forsake you, or let you down." So today I just want to remind you, no matter what you may be going through right now, God's got you. He can be relied on. Isn't it awesome if you have someone in your life that you know that you can depend on? It's wonderful if you're married, hopefully it's your mate. You know that they've got your back. So I have asked our chief chef over here, Jeff Rice, and his lovely wife, Robin, why don't y'all go up on the platform? So like, go around that, or wherever. Just go up on the platform. And they're going to illustrate what it means to put your trust in someone that you love. How long have you guys been married?
33 years.
Almost 33 years. So I think that they know one another by now. Huh? Uh-oh, Robin, you're in trouble. But I just wanted them to illustrate something to you about what it's like when you trust someone and you can depend on them, then you're not afraid to do this. Go ahead, Robin. Yay, okay. I want to see it one more time. You guys need to do it one more time. Ready, set, go. No, you're not supposed to look back. He's still, if you trust him, Robin, he's still there. All right. I kind of saw this when I was praying about what to share today, that, you know, we've got the loving arms of Jesus. There's an old song that we used to sing, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all that harms. Aren't you glad that he always catches us? Aren't you glad that we're safe and we are secure in the loving arms of Jesus? It's wonderful to have a mate that will catch you and has got your back no matter what comes our way. But even greater than that, we've got the Lord our God, and we can trust in him to sustain us, to catch us, even when we're about to fall under the attacks of the enemy. Anybody ever experienced an attack of the enemy? Perhaps a physical attack, perhaps a financial attack, or an attack on your relationships. And it's real easy to feel like, I'm going to fall and I'm never going to be able to get up. But you know what? The Word of God promises us when we put our hope and confidence in him, he'll catch us. He'll lift us up. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, again out of the Amplified, says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight and understanding. This verse instructs us not to lean to our own understanding. As women, we often tend to be fixers. You know what I mean by that? Something's going on in your children's life, you know, teenagers, adults, or whatever, and you're like, I know what they need to do. I know exactly how to fix this issue in their life. And we so want to offer our advice and tell them exactly what they need to do. But you know what? This scripture says we're not to lean unto our own understanding. His thoughts and his ways are higher than anything that we can come up with. We think we got a plan to fix what's going on in our lives and in other people's lives. But if we live out of the mental realm, we're going to limit the Holy One of Israel. God was not happy with the children of Israel. He said, you have limited me. They tried to figure out what they should do. But God's saying, don't lean up here. Live out of your heart in all of your ways. Acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I will show you exactly what to do. We've all had marvelous opportunities to get into worry and to take the care. Perhaps we've received bad news, and it's easy to start meditating on that bad news or the lies of the enemy. These things that will come that we're saying, things about your family, your relatives, your children, your grandchildren. Oh, they're never going to serve the Lord. You can just forget it. Look at the way they're living. They're on their way to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't take that lie. That's not true. We know that the Bible says, me and my household shall be saved. How about this one? Oh, look at all those bills. Look at all that financial lack. You're going under. You're going to lose everything. No, that's not true. My Bible says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How about this? Anybody ever faced any health issues or crisis? I've had a couple thinking about it the other day. In the past 5 years, I had 2 major surgeries, both knees replaced. Last year, it's almost a year ago, major surgery to repair a hiatal hernia. And you know the lies, the thoughts come to all of us. You're going to die young. I'm going to take you out. Oh no, that's not what I'm believing. The Bible says with long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. I declare it all the time. I'm living long and I'm finishing strong in the mighty name of Jesus. Every one of us have faced situations where it was a temptation for your knees to buckle and you to collapse under the weight of it. There's a wonderful scripture that I love this. I love the Bible, but this scripture encourages me. It's in Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be light to me. Glory to God. That just makes me happy. When I fall, I will arise. You know, I always quote that part, but yesterday as I was looking at this, I thought, you know, that's super good. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. The devil likes to laugh in our face. He says, okay, I'm taking you out. He may have thrown his best shot, but our reply ought to be, ha ha, devil on you. That's the best you can do. Looky here. I'm still standing. I may have been temporarily knocked down or knocked back, but when I was falling down, the everlasting arms of Jesus caught me and he put me right back up. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't laugh at me, devil. I'm laughing at you. He may think that he has won, but it's a short-lived win. We get the last word. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm the one coming out on the top, better, stronger, and more full of joy than ever. Do not rejoice over me, my enemies. I'm going to laugh in your face. Hallelujah. We need to act like Jesus. You know, that's what he does. The devil has plots and plans against the kingdom of God, but not a one of them have ever come to pass. If you want to read something interesting, it's over in Psalms chapter 2, and I'll just recap verse 1 through 3. It's a description of nations and rulers and people that are plotting against the Lord God and his anointed. That might be the answer to the question, how dumb can you get? That you think you're going to take God out. You think you're going to take him down. You know, the devil inspires that kind of thinking. He tried it once. It didn't turn out so well for him. He tried to exalt himself above the throne of God. And the Bible says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He was kicked out of heaven. And those that come against the Lord our God are going to experience the same kind of defeat. Those that would rise up, even in this hour, there may be some attacks against the body of Christ. There may be those that make fun of the church. And there are those that are attacking Israel. But the word of God says we're not going under, and Israel is not going under. You come after the Lord God's body, which is us, the body of Christ. You come after his chosen people, which is Israel, and you're going to see defeat. We win. Hallelujah. We win. He always causes us to triumph. And this was the Lord's reaction when nations and rulers were saying, I'm going to take God down. This is his reaction. And I think we ought to have the same one. Psalms 2:4 out of the NLT. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. That same passage in the GNT, Good News Translation. From his throne in heaven, the Lord laughs and he mocks their feeble plans. Woo-hoo-hoo! That blessed me the other day when I read that. You may be in the midst of the worst attack that you have ever faced, but in God's eyes, he still calls it a feeble attempt. Compared to his power and his grace and his ability to see you through and put you victorious on the other side of that thing, he calls that attack a feeble attempt. We need to be reminded, God's got me. Woo-hoo-hoo. God's got my back. God's got my feet. God's got every part of me. He's going to make me stand. The greater one lives on the inside of me. Let me remind you of these wonderful scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is what? He's greater. Everybody raise your hands and say, my God is greater. My God is greater. I don't care what the devil say. It's going to go God's way. My God, your God, always causes me to triumph. We're hooked up. We're on the winning side. There's only two kingdoms in this world. There's a kingdom of God, which represents light, and there's a kingdom of the devil, which represents darkness. And when you're in the kingdom of light, light is greater than darkness. We win. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He's the one who created the universe. He spoke everything into existence. The Bible says he hung the moon and the stars. He holds the world in the palm of his hand. He's the one that split the Red Sea. He's the one that shut the lion's mouth when they threw Daniel in the den. He's the one that caused the sun to stand still so that Israel could win the battle. He's the one that defeated death, hell, and the grave. He is the Most High God, and there is no one other like him. That's my God. Is he your God? Hallelujah. Nothing or no one compares to him. Yes, our God is the Most High God. But he's not unattainable. He knows everything about your individual life. He's so awesome. He's so majestic. But yet, he's such an individual God. He knows everything. He knows how he created you. The Bible even says he has numbered the hairs on your head. And I wonder if he even knows the natural hair color that I have. I'm not sure anymore. But he knows. He knows all these things about us. You may have been knocked down by circumstances of life, but I came by today to give you good news. Is this good news? God's gotcha. And this scripture, you're going to like it. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. And this is out of the Message. A message from the high and towering God who lives in eternity. His name is holy. I live in the high and holy places. So some people read that and say, oh God, the Most High God. We can never understand him. We can never, you know, believe that he loves us. But no, look at the rest of this. But also with the low spirited and the spirit crushed. And what I do is put a new spirit in them and get them up on their feet again. Woo! Do you like that? I like it. I live in the high and holy places, but I'm also with the low spirited, the spirit crushed. What did Jesus come to do? And the Bible tells us over in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that he came to heal the brokenhearted, those that have been downtrodden, those that have been crushed by circumstances of life. He knows exactly what you're going through or what you have faced. And this is what he's going to do. I'm going to put a new spirit in them, get them up on their feet again. God's love, his reach is unlimited. He reaches to the highest mountain, and his love flows to the lowest valley, to the deepest pit of despair. He is there. To dark places of despondency and disappointment, he is there. If you want to just think about how much God loves you, I encourage you to read Psalms 139. Read it out of the Passion Translation. One of those scriptures in there says, God, I'm always on your mind. I'm always on your mind. And then it says, where can I go to escape your love? And the answer is nowhere. You're always on his mind. And there's nowhere that his love won't reach. He heals those whose spirits have been crushed. He lifts those who have been knocked down. I love how it says that. Look at the last part. He gets them up on their feet again. Some of you may be living in a place of disappointment, in a place of despair, in a place where you're low mentally and emotionally. But I declare to you today, your address is about to change. Our God is going to cause you to be lifted up. He's moving you up to a high place in him. You're not going to have to live there anymore. Our God is the one who lifts us up. Doesn't Psalms 3:3 say he is the glory and he is the lifter up of our heads? God's gotcha. And he knows exactly how to get you out of what you're going through. And you know, it's brutal. And sometimes people say, but oh, it's just too much. It's just too much. No, the Bible says that there's not going to be more that comes on us than we can carry, than we can bear, than we can bear. We're not supposed to carry any cares. And it isn't the Lord God, your good God, that's putting those things on you. You need to settle that right now. These are attacks of the enemy. But what I'm learning today is my God is greater. He didn't bring it, but he always causes me to triumph. And he always shows me the way of escape. There's a way out, ladies. And his name is Jesus. And it's not going to be that you just barely get out, you know, hanging on by a thread. No, he's bringing us out in glorious style. Hallelujah. This is a time for the church to shine bright. The Bible calls us the glorious church. Ladies, you are glorious. And let his glory shine in and through you. He is able to put you back on your feet again. One more passage along those lines. In Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 24 in the Message. And now to him who can keep you on your feet. Don't you like that? Keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating. Jesus wants to raise us up and cause us to stand tall and to be free from guilt and condemnation of the past. And I like how it says fresh and celebrating. Some of you ladies in here today, you need a fresh start. You need to celebrate a new beginning. And it begins in Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you may have been born again for a long time, but you haven't been in rich fellowship with Him. You haven't been walking in the things of the Lord. You haven't connected with a local body of believers like Pastor Nancy was sharing. It's so important that we have a church family, that we have people surrounding us that will hold us up and agree with us in prayer. There's strength in that. So that may be describing you. You love Jesus, but you haven't really been walking fully with Him. So this verse right here today, I believe that speaks to you, that He is able to get you up, put you on your feet, help you to stand tall and bright in His presence, and celebrate a new beginning. A fresh start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. I just sense we're just going to stop right here. Everybody stand. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you today. We want to thank you that you've got us. You've got our back. You help us, Lord. You're able to make us stand. Glory be to God. So we're going to do something here in a few minutes. But before we do that, I just want everybody just to bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes. And I don't know everyone in here personally. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. There may be some ladies in here today that you have never even asked Jesus into your heart. You've never confessed Him as the Lord and Savior. If you want His strength and His ability to be made manifest in your life, you need to open your heart wide. And you need to declare the Lordship of Jesus. The Lordship means I give you all of me. Every part of my life. Jesus, I'm not going to hold back in any way. I want you to come in to every area of my heart. I open every door wide open. Some of you may have some things of your past that wounded you and they hurt you, and you just keep that part separate and you don't let anybody in there and you don't talk about it. But Jesus wants to come in to that area as well and bring you wholeness, 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 wholeness. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never confessed Him as your Lord, would you raise your hand? Just wave it at me. Thank you, Jesus. Or perhaps you're in here and you have asked Jesus into your heart, but you have not been walking in rich fellowship with Him. And you want to do what this scripture I just read. You want Jesus to give you a fresh start today. A new beginning. If that describes you, I want you to raise your hand. You'd want prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm making a fresh commitment today. I want you to be my Lord of every single area. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Let's just wait upon Him for a moment. Let Him deal with hearts. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray a general prayer over every one of these precious women of God today. And I just thank you, Lord, if anyone came in here discouraged, in a difficult place, that right now they are lifted up in your presence, in your bright presence. Let there be that lifting. Let there be that raising up. Oh, my masitrite. Let there be that refreshing. And those that have been knocked down by the circumstance of life, and it's like there's no joy in your life anymore. Lord, I just speak. Let your joy be rekindled in their lives. As a matter of fact, if that describes you, if you come up to the front, I just want to agree with you. You just want to be refreshed. You've been going through some things, and you just need that. You just ask that joy of His presence would come upon you. That describes you. Come on now. Don't be afraid. We're all friends. We're all family in here. You've been going through something, and you just really, really want agreement that the Lord's presence and that refreshing joy will come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all stay hooked. It's early. I preached a very short message, but I just felt to stop. So we're good. But stay connected. The fellowship's been rich. We've had fun. But this is so vital. I want everybody to leave this place today with their needs met. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the refresher, and the restorer of Christina's joy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Mona. Lord, I know she's been through some things, but the good news is you're through it. You're through it. You're through it. And there's Jamaica. Joy, 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 joy on the other side of that. In the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you for my sweet sister. You know, Lord, you know exactly the things she's faced and she's gone through. Masitara, you're still standing. You're still standing. And he kasukrita, he refreshes you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we talked a lot about that God has got you, and He does. But we also want you to know we've got you. As sisters in the Lord, we need to be connected. We need to be there for each other. I'm so thankful the things that I have had to face. I haven't had to face them alone. Jesus, of course, is my strength. But I'm so thankful for people that have surrounded me with prayer. I have two wonderful sisters in the natural, older sisters. I call them all the time, and I know when I say pray, they pray. But I've also been so connected with Pastor Nancy, Pastor Kimberly, and I know if we have something going on, all we have to say is pray, and they're there. We all need those kind of connections. And I do want to mention this before we do the last thing I had in my heart. Prayer is so vital and it's so important. And we know here at church, Pastor Mark and I have had a stirring for quite some time that we needed to have more prayer going on a regular weekly basis. We had those wonderful prayer encounters. We'll probably still be doing some of that. But the thing that we settled on that seemed good to me and Pastor and the Holy Ghost is we're going to begin a weekly ladies' prayer. And that's going to start on Thursdays at noon. It will begin. The first one's going to be May 16th. We'll be doing it over in the youth room. I realize many of you work or you drive distances to church and you won't be able to physically be here. But if you can, wherever you're at noon on Thursdays, just hook up with us and start praying. We're not going to have these sessions online because I just really felt like there's times that we need to pray that we don't need to be concerned about someone might not understand if they're watching online or this or that or whatever. So if you can, please join us. But before we go today, I saw this so big in my heart. I want to ask you to get in groups of like maybe four or five. Just turn to the people there next to you. And we're going to pray for one another. I want you to know you've got sisters in the Lord that love you and will stand with you. So if you can stand and find a group to just connect with, we got some over here. Praise the Lord. Christina, go over there with them. Just join hands. If they need to sit down, we'll let the young one can stand and they can sit. Take their hands. And you know, if you have really been going through a difficult season, go ahead and share that with them. You maybe didn't want to come to the front, and that's understandable, but find out each other's names. Look at their name tag. If you don't know them, find out their name. And then someone just ask them, have you been going through something that we can come in agreement with you on? We're not in any hurry. Take your time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these precious ones, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you call them.